If you haven't voted, you need to. If you need to know who to vote for, I can tell you. I don't mind. And I won't be biased, but I'll just tell you the facts, okay? But you do need to vote, you know, because it's our responsibility. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to vote because it doesn't count. Well, if you don't vote, it sure doesn't count, right? So exercise your right. Somebody died for you to have that, so take advantage of it, all right? Y'all doing okay? Okay, did he update y'all on our people? Frank Houtshell had an accident on a motorcycle yesterday, but he's all right. No severe things, some fractures. And Slim's at the hospital in Macon, he thought he had a heart attack. They're still working on that. They hadn't confirmed that. He went up this morning about 5 o'clock. So remember him. Linda Chadwick, Josh's wife, has not had a good change in any way. That's not good. So be praying for Linda. She's had a serious, some kind of stroke where she's bleeding at the bottom of her cellular brain. So it's not good. Remember Courtney? Remember, had a bad accident as well. She's still looking at quite a few surgeries. So just be praying for her. You know, probably be a year out before she can get out all that stuff. So don't be griping if you don't feel good, okay? You're not in any of those situations. So say, man, I'm thankful I'm not up there doing that, right? All right, let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for this day, for our breakfast, for this place, for our freedom. I ask you to remind us what your desire is for us individually, as well as a church, to bring glory to you and to live in such a way that people want to know you because of it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Next Sunday is Father's Day, and we will have baby dedication on that day. So if you know someone who's talking about having their child dedicated, we need to know that before next Sunday, okay? So if you know someone who's not here and you'll see them, just remind them that they need to let Debbie or I, one of us, know before next Sunday, because if we find out Sunday morning, it probably won't happen, okay? So remind them, help them, and we'll do it at second service. So, We're going to look again at the life of Jacob, and then the Sunday after Father's Day, we'll finish it. I really just wanted to do the last sermon that I'm going to do, but I realized these need to preface that because there's so much in the last one when he's wrestling with God that you step into that one without doing some of what we did last week and this week, and it's hard to say, how does that affect me exactly? So that's why we're going to spend another day, part of day, if we hurry, in Jacob's life. You remember, we saw all the stuff last week where, you know, everybody in that scheme was wrong. Isaac cheated and lied. Rebekah cheated and lied. Jacob cheated and lied. Esau cheated and lied. We always pick on Jacob, but he was just one of them. They're all wrong in what they did, okay? So now, here we pick it up in chapter 28, because Esau, when he finally realized, you know, the part of the reason Esau got into trouble was he didn't want anything to do with God. He said, I don't want a blessing. And then when he realized he didn't have it, he got mad and said, I'm going to kill Jacob. So that's why they're trying to get him out of town. Rebekah said, oh, we got to do something. She plays Isaac again and said, you know, Esau just went over there and married two of those Canaanite women, and boy, we don't need that. So you need to get him out of here to go to get some from our family. So he goes and marries his cousin. That's exactly what happens, right? Look at it. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, go and do not take a wife of the daughters of Canaanite, Hittites. Esau had already married two of them, and there were already trouble in the family. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, which was his uncle, And what? And take a wife from there, the daughters of Laban, who was his uncle, his mother's brother. They married closer back then, before sin had messed up the whole gene pool, you know, because there was just not a lot of people around, you know. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted. This is Old Testament. This is Old English. He camped. He lighted. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Okay? He's out there in the middle of nowhere. Okay? He's not looking for God. He's running for his life. Okay? He knows Esau is the hunter and he wants to kill him. And this is what happens. And he dreamed. Anybody in here dreamers? Don't ever make life decisions on a dream. Okay? You got to weigh that thing. Did he speak to Joseph in a dream? Yes. Can he speak to you in a dream? Yes. But you got to make sure the dream you hear is coincide with God's word. The dream he gave him was a re-emphasizing of what he told him was going to do in chapter 25. It's not a new thing. How many times have I had people come up and they say, you know, God gave me this dream and they told me what it means. And I said, whoa, that's foolish. You can't do that. Because what they say that God told them in a dream contradicts what God says in his word. So that's why you got to be careful now. Am I saying God can't speak in a dream? That's not what I said. But you better weigh it according to God's word. Because the main thing that comes out of this today, he sees him a theophany. In a sense, he sees God in a sense. But the main thing is not that he sees God, but that he hears God. That is the kicker. And that's what we don't pay attention to. We want to see somebody jump up there and grab the lights, and we see, oh, that's God's moving. But it's in contradiction to what God says in his word. So who are you going to follow? You know, you can't get excited about excitement. A lot of people do that. It just doesn't last when you go out there in the workforce tomorrow. You know, you want something to help you tomorrow when the world's falling apart, because it's like a ball game. Everybody hoop-haws around, but whenever they leave the ball game, what does it do for you? Nothing. You know, that's the way that works. You got to be careful. Behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. What is God saying here? In the Old Testament Jews, boy, this is the way they were. God is up there. We're down here. He's given us a few guidelines, but he's really not transcendent where he goes and is a part of our life. We have a world of that today in Christendom. I said, God started all, but he doesn't really care about us. He doesn't have anything to do with our life personally. And here Jacob understands that. He said, oh, no. You know, I wasn't looking for God, and God shows up. You remember Forrest Gump movie, right? Lieutenant Dan is really mad because he didn't get killed in the war like his ancestors. So he wasn't thankful that he's alive. He's mad, right? And he's out there on the boat finally with Forrest, and they're not catching any fish. And so he just, a hurricane comes up, you know, and storm, and he's just cursing God. And about that time, you remember what Forrest said? And God showed up. That's exactly what happens here. Jacob's not looking for him. He's out there in a place where you would never find God. And in your life and my life, sometimes that's when God shows up. When you're not looking for him. And you're not in a place where, well, we're not in church, so we can't hear anything from God. No, that's not right. And the top of it reached to heaven. God is connecting who he is with man on the earth. Before, Jacob had never heard that. And you remember when Jesus comes along in the New Testament and he starts calling God Abba Father. That was a brand new concept. The Jews saw God as on the Mount Sinai when there were thunder and lightning and he was speaking to them. They said, oh, no, we don't want this, Moses. You let him talk to you and then you come tell us. We don't want anything to do with this God. So from then on, that's what you have. Until Jesus shows up. All the prophets heard from God. God didn't show up like that. He would talk to some individuals every now and then, but as a whole, he didn't. And Jesus comes on and says, wait a minute. God the Father is here with us. And they said, what are you talking about? You know, so Jacob, this is his first encounter of that God is not distant. God is really coming down, being involved in my life, but he's going to demand something from my life. There you go. Whenever you look at God's word, he's demanding something. And you have to answer it one way or the other. Now, Jacob, he made a vow, but he wasn't fixed yet. Because the last word I'm going to read, if I hurry, look what he says. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending, God's messengers. And then finally God speaks to him directly. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and God of thy Isaac. Okay, this is not a wild dream. He really had a father and a grandfather by these names. And I've already promised them, and I also told you what the promise was. I told your mama, the older will serve the younger. You're going to be the man. So this is not this wild dream that nobody's ever heard of before. But it was a reinstatement with him in a personal way from God directly, and he got his attention. The land where you're lying right now, I'm going to give it to you and your seed, because he's leaving. He's going over there. And he really doesn't know. We know from, if you read in the verses, boy, he goes through a whole lot of stuff. Why? Because he goes to live with his uncle Laban, who's just like him. He's a liar and a thief, and he, you remember what he does? He makes him work 7 years for the wife that he didn't want, and then 14 for the one that he wanted. Is that a schemer or not? Same thing. You know, it's part of the family, right? You know, I tell you, that sinful germ is hard to get rid of. You know how we inherit it from our people? You know, you have to understand that. Unless Jesus fixes that, you don't fix it. You inherited a bad gene. And you can look at it generation and say, oh, boy, they haven't fixed that one yet. Look at those grandkids. They're just like their grandparents who were evil. That germ is there. And he's seeing, okay, how's this thing going to change? We got to hurry. Did I read that verse? And it shall, and your seed shall be the dust of the earth. He's already promised that. And thou shalt spread abroad to the east and the west and the north and the south, all over the place. And thy seed shall be will bless the families of the earth. That's not new. He's already said that. He told Abraham that. And behold, here's the kicker. I am with you. It doesn't matter if you're at a hospital in Macon, wonder if your husband's going to die. It doesn't matter if you're standing over the gash in the earth we call a grave and you're burying your child. It really doesn't matter. He says, I am with you. Sometimes we forget that. That's what he told him. He said, you're about to go into a bad place and you're going to get in some bad situations. I want to remind you where you're going. I am with you. We forget that. And when we forget it, we try to manipulate the situation. And we go against what God wants us to do and do things to get God's will done in our life that God never wants us to do. It's never right to do wrong. Hello? Never. Well, if I don't fix this, it's never right to do wrong. That's what the scripture says. Whenever it says, thou shalt not lie, it doesn't qualify it. It doesn't say, well, if you don't lie, they're going to kill you. That's not what it says. It says what? Don't lie. Every one of them is that way. But we categorize them like that. Oh, well, God understands. No, he doesn't. When he says, don't do that, that's what he means. I'm going to be with you. And I'll not leave you. I promise you. Until I have done that which I already told you. Prior chapters, what I'm going to do. I told your grandfather what I'm going to do. I'm not done with you till what I said was going to happen through you is happening. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. If we don't mess it up. And he says, I'm going to see you through it, Terry. Is it all going to be easy? No. And Jacob woke up. Awakened. You said, what is that? That's Old Testament English, all right? He awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't looking for him. Can you remember when Jesus found you and you were not looking for him? Remember that? Where were you? Might not have been in a church. I wasn't in a church. I was sitting in a pickup truck. Kind of like that song by one of the groups. You know, he found me on the way to a concert. Well, I wasn't on a concert. I was barefooted in an old pickup truck. And God showed up. That's where it was. In this place. And I knew it not. Wow. That happens all the time. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place that is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. He's seeing God is coming down. God's not just up there. God is coming down and being involved in my life. That's the way it is. God's not out there at a distance. He's transcendent. He comes in and involved in our life in this world where we live. That's it. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and he took a stone that he put for his pillars and he set up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. It's actually house-el God, house of God. A lot of churches are Bethel. You know, a lot of things are named Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz. It's not the same place. Bethel did not exist until this day when he did this. Luz was already a place removed from that that had his name. Not the same place. Some people say, well, it's not the same place. This place didn't exist until Jacob named it. He said, God showed up here. And you know why? He set up a shrine, and that's okay if you understand what the shrine is for. The shrine is not the end of itself. The shrine is to point you to something. He said, this is serious. We need to remember this. So we're setting up this shrine, and basically that's what it was. All he knew was a cultic view of this in that day and time. And he said, we're going to do something here to remind us of who God is and what he's doing. That should be the purpose of everything that we do, ceremonial. And if it doesn't have that purpose, you're wasting your time because it's not going to do anything else. But how much of church stuff is ceremonial only? And you ask them, why are you doing this? Well, we've just been doing it. Well, you know pagans do the same thing, right? Well, Donnie, why are we doing it? But why are you doing it? Well, I don't know why we're doing it. So why are you doing it? Well, I don't know why we're doing it. So should we keep doing it? You know? And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, I will keep in this way that I go, and I will give, if he'll give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Basically, this is the first time he said, I'm going to let God be my God. He's still conniving. Look at the last thing that he says. So that I come again to my father's house in peace. Remember, he's running for his life. He said, if I can get back over here and I can get back to my mom and dad. By the way, he doesn't get back to see his mom. He dies. His mom, who's the trickster and conniver, does all this for her son, and she schemes, and she never sees him again. She's dead when he gets back. But he said, if God will take me over there and get me back, and Esau doesn't kill me, he'll be my God. He's making a vow. That's the first time he's shown any kind of spiritual interest, that he's shown anything. There's still a lot to be desired, and we'll see next week, the week after when we come back here, all the stuff that he was still doing. And God's working on the boy. Till finally we get to that part where it says he wrestled with God. That's a big deal, all right? We're going to get there. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and the land of that shall thou shalt give me, I will surely give to a tenth of it. What is he saying there? He's not saying, that's not where you get the concept of tithing from. All he's saying there is, God, this is all already yours. I'm just going to give back what I should be giving back. That's the way it is, right? Anytime you give back anything to God, it ain't like you got it on your own. If you have anything, it's because God is gracious to let us live in a free country where you can have something. Ain't that right? I talked to someone yesterday whose daughter had been in Paraguay for about 2 months, and she got back as a missionary, just a short term. She said, boy, I appreciate the United States. Yeah. Go live outside of here a while, and you will. And you understand why people want to try to get over here. I understand that, but you got to do it legally. You know, when we lived in Mexico, we couldn't do it illegally. One of the guys said, you got this paperwork finished? Because if you don't, and they find out, they'll ship you right back to the United States. I said, what? They said, oh, yeah, because they made a mistake on our paperwork. So we had to go to an immigration office in Mexico City. Who's been in Mexico City other than Kennedy? That's an experience. It's about like going to Atlanta. You know? Which is not a good experience. For the first time, this narrative about Jacob is not where they're fussing and fighting. It's about God coming to Jacob, and God is in charge, not Jacob. That's a big deal. Because before, who's in charge? Jacob and Rebecca. Man, they manipulated the whole system, got stuff that didn't work. Well, you know, in a sense, God said, I'm going to give it to you, but you don't have to cheat to get it. See, that's the thing. We said, well, God said he was going to take care of me, but he didn't say you had to have a brand new Lexus. He didn't say you had to have a brand new, what's an expensive, Tesla or a Cybertruck. Those things are quite ugly, by the way. Don't know y'all drive one, do you? No offense if you do. Anyway, you know, you think about that. When he says, I'm going to get you some way to go, it might be a bicycle. Right? Our bus driver used to tell us when we cut up, he said, I'll put you off. He said, walking ain't crowded. And he had the right to put us off. And we would not be able to ride the bus back then. Can't do that now, though, can you? My goodness, you'd let them kill one another on the bus and you can't do anything about it. Anyway, I won't go down that road. Now we have a direct confrontation that God is behind and he confronts Jacob. That's always what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what kind of church you're in or what kind of group you're in. The business is done between you and God, period. And it has to go there and nothing happens. You know, that's just the way it works. And that's exactly what's going on here. And he wasn't looking for it. So you have this journey and you have this theophany where we just call that a manifestation of where God kind of presents himself, where there's a visual. Not that you actually see God, but you think that's what's going on. And then you have a vow that Jacob makes. And here's what the problem is. Sometimes we get hung up on that visual when the main thing is what God says. There's a visual and there's an audience that's going on here. God shows up and he's talking. And we focus too many times on, well, if God will just show me this miracle, then no. The most important thing is when God says something, how do we act on it? You know, well, God's going to have to show me a miracle or I won't believe. Then you probably won't believe. How many miracles are in the Bible? Not many. Really, and when you look at how many years it covers and all the stuff that goes on, there's really not many outright miracles percentage-wise. And it's mainly you either trust God as a word or you don't. And that's where you are today. You're sitting here. You either believe God what he says, and Jacob had to get to that point, and that's exactly what he did. He said, God, you're going to be my God. But now remember, he's not perfect yet, because that last word in that last sentence was, if. He's still trying to make a deal with God, and God's already told him what he's going to do. So God's going to get him straightened out finally when he wrestles with him and breaks him down. It occurs in a place where Jacob is not looking for God. He has no concept of having a relationship with God. You don't see that anywhere in it. He's just running for his life. You know, it's shocking. When we lived in Mexico, how many people from over here were living over there running? They'd gotten in trouble over here, and they were over there running. I mean, a lot of them. And they got to know us, and they knew, well, I'm not going to tell on them. That's between you and Jesus. They hadn't killed anybody. But they were just in some stuff, and they just said, hey, we had to get away. So they wouldn't let anybody take the picture. You know, you couldn't put that out there anywhere. Of course, we didn't take pictures of people then. That was before cell phones, wasn't it? That was the first flip phone I ever had in my life, and it only worked part of the time. I don't think we could even take pictures with it, though. It didn't have a camera on it. How old are you? I'm not that old. Just things move fast. It was a no-name place. You know, you think you have to go to some big church stuff somewhere for God to show up? You go there and you're likely not to find him. He's out here in the middle of nowhere. No name. It doesn't have a name, but he named it. He wasn't expecting God. Can you remember where you were when God got your attention? And how did you respond to it? That's the main thing. Did you make a vow like Jacob? He said, you're going to be my God. Boy, I ain't perfect yet. And he shows us that in the next go-around. No, it wasn't perfect. But God said, oh, no. And this is the kicker. He has a plan for you and for me if you don't mess it up. God has a plan. He said, I'm going to see it through fruition. If you'll pay attention and listen to me, I'll get you through it, and I'll get my will accomplished through you for the rest of the world, and you'll benefit from it if you don't mess it up. But when it comes up and you say, well, you know, God, if you really want me to do that, I don't think that's going to be right, so let me change that. I know it was okay for Otis, but that doesn't work for me. So you just messed the plan up. And everybody else around you that's affected by you. See how that works? None of us live in a vacuum. Every mistake I make affects my family, affects my community, affects everybody. You don't do that by yourself. So you need to be careful. And that's exactly what's going on here. It takes place when he's asleep because he can't defend himself. If he was awake when that was going on, he would be tricking and conniving. But when he wakes up, he's got to deal with it because he realizes, uh-oh, God did show up and I'm going to have to do something about this. You know, God might have to get your attention that way. I don't know how he's going to do it in your life. It is not a priority for him. God is not in the picture until God just shows up. He seeks only what? I'm just running for my life. I don't want Esau to kill me, and I know he can, so I'm getting out of here. So my mom helped me connive my daddy so he'd bless me so I could leave, and that's why I'm out here. It raises difficult situations about the nature of our encounters with God for sure. And we'll really deal in some of this when we see him wrestling with God when he comes back, on his way back, to meet Esau. Some people today say, oh, this is primitive stuff. This has nothing to do with us whatsoever. Yeah, right. God's out there. We're down here. He gave us a few laws. That's it. He doesn't have any involvement with the rest of the world or with us. That's not what the scripture says. Jacob learned and said, oh, no, no, God came down. God's here. He's in the middle of this thing. And that's exactly what they say. Oh, we're too advanced for that, right? We, in some ways, we have. There's a lot of things we used to believe as Christians that the general audience of Christians don't believe anymore. Hello? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Well, that used to be wrong. Well, what happened? Well, we decided. Remember our Methodist brothers a few years ago? What happened to them? What happens to everybody that throws God's word aside? Well, our idea is better. We're so much smarter in this new theology of Paul or this open theology. Well, we're so much smarter. No, you're not. You've given in to the world. You know, we were talking about it back a few minutes ago, a couple of us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon 150 years ago started preaching about what we're living in right now. It's called the downgrade controversy. He saw the church in their beginning stages doing what the church in America and in general the world does right now. And he started writing about it, and the churches hated him. Did you know they used to, what did they call that when they'd send the messages back 150 years ago from London to here? What did they call that? Did you know they sent his sermons that way, and they printed them in like the New York Times every week because the world wanted to hear it. Anything like that going on now? They don't want to hear anything to do with God. He said, this is what's going to happen if we don't. Did anyone see that on Facebook? I don't just look at Facebook. And sometimes when I look at Marketplace, these things come up. But this is what it had. It had two pictures. It was split. The bottom picture was Paula White, which is a moron, and Jake, T.D. Jakes, which is another moron, and what's that other guy's name, Steve Furtick. They are nutcases. And it had split on top of them an old 60s picture of Billy Graham. And it said, we were warned 50 years ago that this is where we're going. That's where we are. You say, you shouldn't say that about them. They're nuts. They don't preach this. They don't preach what the Bible says. It's a health and wealth prosperity gospel. I mean, if you don't believe that, assess it a little bit. That's exactly what they are. And it is leading people. But we've outgrown this blood stuff. Boy, we don't need that. We don't need to tell anybody they're sinners. They know they're sinners. No, they don't. If they knew, they'd repent. Somebody's got to remind them, hey, you know your foot's bleeding, right? Well, no, I didn't see that. Well, you need to fix it. Or you bleed to death, right? That's the way kind of way it is. They try to explain away psychologically and say, really, that's not reality. There is no more reality than that. That we live in a world where God is back and forth in it. And he's going to hold us accountable of it. He just is. Well, God's just going to forgive everybody. No, he's not. According to the scripture, he is not. You know, I know the concept of hell is gone, basically, even in a lot of Baptist circles. They said, oh, no, nobody's going to be eternally damned. You might suffer for a little while, and then you just don't exist anymore. That's just not what the Scripture says. But if that's the case, guess what? It's kind of like what COVID did to us. Now you can just kill anybody you want to, and it's okay. Hello? You've been in the news this week, right? You can just go stab somebody if you don't like them and kill them. And if they punish you, the world's going to get upset about it. What's with that? We've gotten better, eh? We've outgrown the fact that God's going to hold you accountable? No. If you bought into that, you're in trouble. It insists the world is a place of meetings of what? Where God is involved. And that's exactly what happened with Jacob. He said, God, you're going to be my God. And he does. And we'll get back to that word the next couple of weeks where he says, but if... And God is true to his word. He does what he says he's going to do for Jacob. And Jacob is still a trickster until he wrestles with him. And you know what God says? He says what I say to my chickens. You get out of the fence, you on your own. The fox can have you. The hawks can have you. Whatever. I'll protect you as long as you stay here. But you know, I'm feeding you good, but you got to have something over there. Go ahead. And I don't feel sorry for you. That's exactly what God says. He said, I'm going to take care of you, Jacob. But listen, you better be wise or you're going to suffer. And he does suffer. Can you imagine? Married to two women, one of them you really don't want for your wife, and you work 14 years for them for nothing. You know that committed? Hello? You know, God is serious about what goes on in our life now. He's involved in that. Jacob learns that. We'll close it out in a few weeks. We don't have to analyze the world by some scientific method or some poet in the world who says this. God's word tells us exactly what we need to know and how to do what you need to do. There's no guessing. He tells you, don't do this, do this. You don't have to, because a lot of those people, they analyze stuff that, you know, that just makes me mad. I go and somebody's waiting on me and they don't even know their name. How in the world are they going to help me? You know? You go buy paint somewhere and they say, well, we don't sell that. I said, I swear I bought it. I bought it from you. Well, we don't sell that. You know what I say? I'll come back another day. In my case, that person got up this morning, don't even know who they are. So they can't help me. That's like the woman on the Supreme Court. She don't even know who a woman is. And she's a woman? How's she going to make a decision in my life? Okay, I'm getting political. I'm sorry. Isn't that absurd? But that's where we are. Be careful who you listen to. Google or Facebook or I don't know what else is out there. Instagram and X and whatever else is out there. Some of it, they tell the truth. A lot of it, they don't. And AI is just, oh, my goodness. You just don't even know what is real anymore. Hello? So don't just see a picture and say, oh, yeah, look what he was doing. He was doing good. No. That's AI generated. Be careful. And it's amazing what's going on, right? Data center. Hello. Oh, I'm fitting to get political now. Let's get out of here, all right? The main thing is God loves us, has a plan for us if we'll trust him. If you don't, you're on your own. That's exactly what he told Jacob. I'm going to do this. What you going to do? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the example of this family, how dysfunctional they are, but yet you still use them. What you're going to do in Jacob's life that would affect my eternity. Father, thank you that you will stay with your plan. You will forgive us. Lord, help us to trust you. Thank you for loving us that much. In Jesus' name, amen.